Since this is the first Sunday of the month, we turn our attention to the celebration of communion. You don't have to have communion on the first Sunday of the month. The only requirement for communion is that you do it often and you remember the Lord and what He has done for us. So we regulate our communion to once a month. Some churches, remember the Maxwells. Their church background was Plymouth Brethren, so they celebrated every Sunday communion. We do it once a month. It's a custom, a habit. There's not necessarily anything biblical to it, but it's what we do to remember often, 12 times a year, what Jesus has done. And therefore, we will pause in our study of Ephesians and go, and I want to talk about something to highlight what the Lord's Supper and communion is about. You do know that the Lord's Supper was actually instituted at a Passover of Jesus. Jesus said this when He inaugurated our communion for His church. This is the new covenant in My blood. And when Jesus said that, He canceled at that moment the Mosaic legislation that all were under. And sometimes when we know that in our head, we don't really truly appreciate what that really means. When He inaugurated the new covenant, there is only one law in the new covenant, and that is the law of Christ. And the law of Christ is simply expressed that we are under the law of love. So therefore, in the new covenant, under Jesus, the question simply becomes, what would love do? He canceled the Mosaic legislation. I want to take a look and bring a perspective on the Mosaic legislation, because you cannot really appreciate God's grace and the law of love that Jesus did. Peter said in Acts 15, none of us could keep the Mosaic legislation. So let's take a look and see what no longer applies to us as believers. And I want you to go to Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21. It says this in Exodus chapter 21, verse 1. Now these are the ordinances which you are to set before them. How many of you can name all 10 commandments? Well, everybody, when they think of the Mosaic legislation, comes up with the Ten Commandments. If you go to Exodus chapter 20, there are all of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. Thou shalt have no other gods before Me, all the way through. And everybody thinks Moses stopped in his legislation. The old covenant stopped with the Ten Commandments. Well, I've got a surprise for you. The Ten Commandments were merely, we would call it, the preamble to the Mosaic legislation. And I want to look at when Jesus said the old covenant was canceled and this is the new covenant, it wasn't just the Ten Commandments. I want you to see what Israel lived under the old covenant. And in 21 it says, these are the ordinances, 21:1. That means this. He just quoted in 20 the Ten Commandments. Now he says these are the ordinances. So he starts with 10 as a preamble, and now he's going to go through. And I want to point out some things to you. You cannot appreciate what Jesus did until you see what they lived under. If you buy a Hebrew slave, how do you like that? In that culture and in that day, they had slaves. He shall serve for 6 years, but on the seventh, he shall go out as a free man. It was called the year of Jubilee. So guess what? In those days, you could own servants, but they had to be freed on the seventh year. Today, if you own a mortgage or you have a car payment, that is the equivalent of that today. I'm kidding. If he comes alone, he shall go out alone. If he is the husband of a wife, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master gives him a wife, that is, the slave is given a wife, and she bears him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall belong to her master. He shall go out alone. How about that? You have a debt in Jewish society. You say, I'll be your servant for 7 years to pay off my debt. In the seventh year, they were to let them go. And if the other Hebrew says, here, I have a wife for you, and then in the seventh year, he gets set freed, he doesn't take his wife and children with him. Cheryl's going, I don't get that. But yes, he could. It says if he gives him a wife. But if the slave plainly says, I love my master, my wife and my children, I will not go, then his master shall bring him to God, to the temple. Then he shall bring him to the door or the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and she shall permanently be a servant to him. This was not an employer-employee. This was a servant and his master. And if a man sells his daughter as a female slave, all the ladies are looking at that going, what? I want my daughters to run for president. But in that culture, she is not to go free as the male slaves do. That is the slaves up in verses 2 and 3. If she is displeasing in the eyes of her master who designated her for himself, then he shall let her be redeemed. He shall not have authority to sell her to a foreign people because of his unfairness. And if he designates her for his son, he shall deal with her according to the custom of daughters. If he takes to himself another woman, there it is. What's that called today when you have a wife and you take another woman? What would that be called today? Kelly said that's dangerous. Actually, that's called polygamy. Ladies, under the old covenant, I got in trouble with an elder one day when I said, because he did so much work with Mormons, that I said, well, the Old Testament never said it was illegal for a man to have more than one wife. It regulated it, and he got mad at me, but I'm an honest person. That's under the old covenant. Can't do that under the new. But that's what that means. And if he takes to himself another woman, he may not reduce her food, her clothing, or her conjugal rights. In other words, they get equal protection with the other wife. And if he will not do these three things for her, then she shall go out for nothing without payment of money. Now watch verse 12. This is all part of the Mosaic legislation that Jesus freed us from. He who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be what? How would you like to live under that? Suppose you got angry one day in a barroom brawl. You hauled off and in anger struck him and he died. We in America now have different levels of murder. One is where there's outright, deliberate, high-handed murder, one. Then there's second-degree murder and third-degree murder where, depending on how the circumstances happened. And in our legislation in America today, unless you deliberately, high-handedly plotted and planned to kill somebody, you could get the death penalty. But if you, in anger, did something, it could probably be looking at life imprisonment or jail time. But there, if you struck somebody and they died, guess what happens? They would take you out and stone you under Mosaic legislation. But if he did not lie in wait for him, but God let him fall into his hand, then I will appoint you a place to which you may flee. Now they had cities of refuge where somebody could deal with these situations. If, however, a man acts presumptuously toward his neighbor so as to kill him craftily, you are to take him even from my altar that he may die. And he who strikes his father or mother shall surely be put to death. How do you like that? You have a wayward child who beat up his mom or dad. Elder abuse, we call it today. Guess what penalty that was? Death penalty. We go on. And he who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. Do you know what that means? Every one of you and me would not be here this morning. Have you ever gotten mad at your mom and dad? You were to reverence your father and mother under the old covenant. How many of you can say to me, preacher, I never got mad at my father or mother. They never aggravated me and I always called them yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am, and you never had a fight with them. If you were under the Mosaic legislation, guess what would happen to you? We go on. And if men have a quarrel and one strikes the other with a stone or with his fist, and he does not die but remains in bed, if he gets up and walks around outside on his staff, then he who struck him will go unpunished. He will only pay for his loss of time. So if you're in an accident and somebody causes you, under the Mosaic legislation, the person who caused the accident has to pay. And he shall take care of him until he is completely healed. And if a man strikes his male or female slave with a rod and he dies at his hand, he shall be punished. But the punishment wasn't death. How do you like that? Don't be a slave in that society because you kill your slave, you don't get death. If, however, he survives a day or two, no vengeance shall be taken, for the slave is his property. And if men struggle with each other and strike a woman with child so that she has a miscarriage, yet there is no further injury, he shall surely be fined as the woman's husband may demand of him, and he shall pay the judges. But if there is any further injury, then you shall appoint as a penalty life for life. In other words, if the child dies, it's a fine. If the mother dies, it's death. And if a man strikes the eye of his male or female slave and destroys it, he shall let him go free on account of his eye. And if an ox gores a man or a woman to death, the ox shall be stoned, and its flesh shall not be eaten. But the owner of the ox shall go unpunished. If, however, an ox was previously in the habit of goring, and the owner has been warned, yet he shall not confine it and kills a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and its owner shall be put to death. Then if a ransom is demanded of him, then he shall give for the redemption of his life whatever is demanded of him. Whether he gores a son or a daughter, it shall be the same. And then it says this. This is how it is summed up in this section. And it says this. And I can't, it disappeared in my Bible. Here it is, verses 23 and 24 of chapter 21. Here is the essence of the Mosaic law. Verse 23 and 24. And 25, but if there is any further injury, then you shall appoint life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise. This is what we call in theology imposing the letter of the law. that if you do this to someone, it comes back the same way on you. And it's interesting that it says, as Israel heard this, they were all standing before the mountain. And as Israel heard this, this is what they said. Three times. All that the Lord says, we will do. Exodus 24:3. Exodus 24:7. This is what they said. So many of you think it's only the Ten Commandments. It is not just the Ten Commandments. It was a very strict, it was a very tight legislation. And you can now understand why Peter would have said in Acts 15, none of us, Lord, have been able to keep this. What was this teaching? The holiness of God and the punishment for sin. What are we celebrating this morning? This has been removed. Christ has inaugurated the new covenant. And the only law that believers are under today is the law of Christ, which is the law of love. So here's what you ask yourself under the new covenant. When someone upsets you, when you are mistreated, you don't say, I want the letter of the law, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Jesus said, with the same form of judgment you judge others, you'll be judged. You want this one principle to live by now, under the new covenant. Are you ready? What would love do? What would love do? That's what you have to ask yourself. When someone mistreats you, when there's harshness, here is what you do. It's hard to do, isn't it? It's easier to fly off the handle and say, you blinded me, now I want your eye. It's so much harder to say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. The delicious irony of a statement in the Gospel of John, when the crowds, especially the Pharisees, said this. And they reviled the followers of Jesus and said, you are his disciple, but we are the disciple of Moses. Which one will you raise your hand and say, I'd rather be a disciple of Moses this morning? This is what Christ freed us from. They didn't even know what they were saying. We're a disciple of Moses.